This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. Stand-up bassist and vocalist Jesse Farrar of Old Salt Union says he believes songwriting actually trumps instrumental virtuosity. This makes him something of a contrarian in the bluegrass world, where technical prowess is highly valued. Ironically, the band's new Compass Records album, Where the Dogs Don't Bite, was produced by label co-owner Allison Brown, known worldwide as a banjo prodigy. WGLT's John Norton caught up with Farrar via Skype ahead of the Old Salt Union show at the Castle Theater in Bloomington tomorrow night. Farrar says the new album was their second working with Brown.
We loved working with Alice on the first record, and we knew we had all this material that we knew that she would really shine, being behind the board and being a part of the process. So if it was up to me, if it was up to us, I mean, we probably would continue to work even with her down the line, even if wasn't with Compass. You know, I think she's just amazing. She works really well with our...
What does she do for Old Salt Union? Is there a technical prowess? Is there a guiding thing that goes along with what she does?
Yeah, I think the most important thing is that she... You know, it's nice to have a person outside of the band that's not as attached to the ideas. You know, this record in particular, Where the Dogs Don't Bite, we kind of wrote there. I mean, we had a few ideas coming into it. It certainly wasn't like our last records where we had everything, you know, arranged and practiced to tempo and, you know, whatever. We kind of just went in with ideas. And so every morning we'd sit down with Allison. We'd play the song as we kind of thought it would work out. She would throw out ideas. You know, we'd follow the ideas, and some would work out, some would not. And as a six piece, you know, with Allison included, we'd decide on an arrangement. We'd decide on a direction that the song would go, and then we'd go give it a shot. So she was a six member of the band, more or less, but a band member that didn't have as much at stake. You know, she could nix ideas and say ideas are cool, and we could do the same. And it was a very organic process, so it was very nice.
Well, I'm going to feature at least a couple of tracks from the new album. A God You Don't Need is the song that leads off the album. I want to play a little bit of it here.
There's a kindness felt near the Kuiper Belt, but right here it's hell and you. The books you read.
This is one of the dark songs on the album about a dissolving relationship. But what really caught my ear, if I'm hearing this right, Jesse, is that a reference to the Kuiper Belt you have in this song?
It is.
It is?
Yeah.
Okay. Where does that come from?
You know, I throughout the years, I'm very into astronomy. I've read many books, and there was a period of time when I couldn't get away from writing about the cosmos in general. I'm a little over it now, but I was pretty knee-deep in it at one point a few years back, but... I don't know. We kind of just slipped back out. I think it was suppressed astronomy and cosmology. I don't know. It was suppressed down in there. I wrote a song about the Voyager missions, and I wrote a song about the Andromeda galaxy, which is our nearest big spiral galaxy. So I wrote a bunch of stuff about it at one point. But that was just a little bit of that leaking back out, I suppose.
Oh, but we caught between.
God You Don't Need is a song from the new album Where the Dogs Don't Bite. Our guest is Jesse Farrar from Old Salt Union. So folk bluegrass bands are in a way like jazz bands, jazz musicians, at least the instrumentalists themselves. They're both are known for their instrumental virtuosity, right? Where are you guys along that scale? Are you virtuosic players? Are you guys just getting good and having a lot of fun? How would you describe yourself?
Yeah, I think we're somewhere in between. I myself was a jazz major in college. I was a jazz performance major at Eastern Illinois University. I do value the idea of improv and being good at it and continually trying to get better at it. That was something I think I brought to the band when I first joined, was like, hey, being comfortable as a musician, it shouldn't almost ever happen. As long as we're all getting better individually, then the band will continually get better and we'll continue to have fun doing it. Now, with that being said, I'm still playing the instrument that I've played my entire life. John Brighton, our fiddle player, is playing an instrument. He was a classical major. And Graham Curry's been playing the guitar his whole life. Now, Justin Wallace and Ryan Murphy, our banjoists, have only started playing these instruments at the inception of the band, so only for about 7 years. So they're still learning new things about their instrument every day. And I am too, and so is John, but at a much less rapid pace.
Thank you.
what's happening is that every album we're better than the one before it, both technically, individually, and as a band. So I think we kind of try to keep that in mind, as long as that is kind of our main focus, is to continually get better musically. Then the music will kind of write itself, you know.
You guys are interesting storytellers. I'm not sure who's exactly writing the lyrics to what song. It'll have that in front of me. But how important in the music that you're playing is the storytelling compared to the virtuosity? Is there an equal level you're trying to reach there?
For me personally, no. I grew up in a songwriting family with my Uncle Jay. My dad's a good songwriter. My grandfather was a songwriter. So for me, the songwriting is everything. I think it's a 95% to 5%, you know, as long as you can play to get your point across in the song, I think that's all that matters to me. Now, you know, you do care for the ability to play, and particularly in this climate now where all these young cats are coming out and just blowing the doors off the older guys, and you got the Billy Strings and all these young guys that are just playing so such amazing things. I think sometimes, particularly in this music, in this genre of music, that gets lost. And I'm not going to berate anybody or bash anybody, but, you know, there's a lot of bands that are coming up over the last 10 years that, you know, are kind of going through the motions as far as songwriting and storytelling. You know, they kind of sing about the mountains and they kind of sing about whiskey, and they're almost just picking keywords out of a hat, of a bluegrass hat, and running with it, where we like to take it a little deeper than that. We like to tell a story, you know. I think that's the number one priority. There's a reason why we're writing music, and it's to tell a story.
It's a cold gray line between a cause and a passerby that takes you way down low where the dogs don't bite no more.
Jesse Farrar with Old Salt Union on WGLT Sound Ideas. Another song on the album is called Tell Me So. And you have a great guest on here, Bobby Osborne. He's a label mate of yours. He's a legendary name in the old school bluegrass world. Why Bobby?
I don't know. It kind of fell in our laps, but Allison was good friends with him. Allison Brown, of course, was good friends with him. And I think early on she kind of mentioned, before I think she even heard any of the songs, she said, hey, have you guys got a real almost traditional bluegrass number, which we didn't really have. We're kind of trying to more and more to get away from that, but Justin kind of had the song idea, and she said, if there is one, maybe we could get Bobby or Dell McCurry or somebody to feature on this record. Maybe that'd be a good look. And so, that, of course, we were beside ourselves, and we're like, yeah, that has to happen. You know, so I think we focused on really writing a good traditional tune. And so by the time it came around, and she said, well, Bobby's interested, and then we met Bobby at the studio, and we sent him off with the song, not knowing if he was going to do anything with it, if it was going to fall on deaf ears or whatever. And sure enough, within a week, he had a copy back to us, and we were just ecstatic and couldn't quit smiling. And then they wanted to shoot a video, and he was down for that. And it's just really an incredible series of events. Yeah. And it's not lost on us how cool it is to have 88-year-old Bobby Osborne on our little crappy record.
I tell you something, I ain't standing here for nothing if I am. By all means, let me know. Just tell me so.
Just tell me so.
Just tell me so all the time. So on my mind, it's hard to breathe. Just tell me so.
Just tell me so.
Just tell me so, and I'll be fine. So hard to find, it's all I need.
As we talk about the old school world and the younger world, Bobby obviously needs no introduction to the old school bluegrass world, but the people that are fans of Old Salt Union, would they know who Bobby Osborne is?
Yes and no. It's weird because the idea is that if people are getting introduced to this genre of music through Old Salt Union, we hope that they find a Bobby Osborne record, or they find a Bill Monroe record, or an Old Scruggs record, a Flat Scruggs record. You know, and I think that we're doing our job if they do. But we are kind of like a gateway drug into the genre. We're a little bit easier to digest than I think than the traditional guys that come up with the suits and the hat and play this straight ahead traditional stuff.
You know what this reminds me of a little bit is when, like, the Rolling Stones back in the, I don't know if it was the 70s or 60s, they would bring up someone like John Lee Hooker or Muddy Waters to either open for them or feature them in the show. And
yeah, and not to compare us to the Rolling Stones, but we feel that kind of thing. You know, we have a lot of younger folks coming to our shows, and to pay homage to Bobby Osborne, who was not just really a traditional player, but what he's best known for is taking the traditional. He was like the first guy that really bent the genre, you know, where he was adding these minor chords and he was adding these these weird chord progressions that you didn't typically hear in Bill Monroe or Flatten Scruggs. And and so really he was like the original us, you know, that just 40, 50 years prior. He was the guy that at first everybody's like, ah, that's not how Bill would have did it. But him and his brother did what they wanted to do anyway. So now it's, if you go back and listen to anything, you know, over in the 60s and 70s from the Osborne Brothers, it sounds like traditional stuff. But at the time, it was really groundbreaking for the genre.
Just tell me so.
Just tell me so.
Just tell me so, just tell me so and I'll be fine. It's so hard to find. It's all I need.
Just tell me so.
Just tell me so.
Just tell me so all the time. Just so on my mind. It's hard to breathe. Just tell me so.
Just tell me so and I'll be fine. It's so hard to find, it's all I need.